At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates, from all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building a life.
For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at bragworthy prices at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Hi, this is Javon, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow, a real person.
Yep, I'm here to help with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
Well, I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
We can also send you samples fast and free.
Wow, I mean, I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule. And there's no haggling, pressure, or hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over, and I'm thinking of something.
Blinds.com has covered over 25 million windows, all backed by a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop Blinds.com now and save up to 40% site-wide. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Welcome back. Midday Show live from Philly Spring Training in Clearwater, Florida. But we're reacting to the Brandon Graham retirement press conference. 215-592-9494. Let's get him a phone call here as people get to react, say goodbye to Brandon Graham as he hangs it up today after 15 years with the Eagles. Randy in Delaware is up. Hey, Randy.
Randy.
All right, put Randy back on hold. All right, Chuck in Mount Airy is up. Hey, Chuck.
Moment too big.
Chuck, all right, we'll get that together, and we'll get back to the phones here. I know a lot of people want to react. Perhaps we just got to get that in order for a second here. Regardless of that, the bottom line is this. When Brandon Graham got up there and started crying in the first 2 minutes, sometimes you could feel, Kyle, these press conferences are going to be emotional. Sometimes you're not sure how it's going to be. Like, Fletcher was really quick last year.
Yeah.
Jason had his whole speech. Brandon was kind of in between where he took a lot of questions at the end, but he also – he had a lot of people he wanted to thank, and he like 2 seconds in, he was emotional.
Yeah. I mean, what was that, like 40 minutes?
About that, yeah.
No, it was like 40. It was like 5 seconds before he started crying, though. He started crying.
You knew that was coming. Yeah. By the way, speaking of crying, we're on John Ritchie Watch tomorrow morning.
Oh, it's
he said John
this is really
to be a mess.
Yeah.
I don't think so.
Oh, come on.
Especially after he crossed his paths with Wechter.
Yeah. No, it's retirement week.
Like,
yeah. No, it's going to be a lot there.
Because tomorrow, what?
Is tomorrow Joe's Wednesday? Day or Thursday?
No, Thursday.
Joe's day.
He might not cry then.
I mean, no, that's hold on. No, John Ritchie's going
Richie's
to cry.
Cooked.
Yeah. Right, Ritchie's going to cry. But you know what? He's not going to be the only one. I mean, there's going to be callers and people that are crying the next couple of days. But Brandon, it's funny. The more that Brandon's career went on, I thought the more he just became more loved by this fan base. Let's talk to Chuck in Mount Airy, who is now up. Hey, Chuck.
Nice.
Okay. All right. We'll put Chuck back on hold, and we will figure that out. Okay. So, Hugh, Brandon Graham's career.
So, you. Okay. Pivot. Hard pivot.
Pivot right away back to Brandon. When you think of Brandon, like, what? It's obviously the moment in the Super Bowl where he strips sack Tom Brady. But, like, what are you going to remember most about his career besides that play? Because that
besides
play,
that, yeah. Just the person that he was. Brandon was the type of cat, man. And you know, you're like this too, Joe. You speak to everybody. You're just the man of the people. That's one thing that's going to always stick out to me about Brandon. Brandon is the type of guy that he will stop and hold a conversation with the janitor as well as the guy that's in the restaurant cooking the meal. Like, that's just the type of person he is. And, you know, I'm not like that. You're like that. You are a very, very personable person. And it does us well for what we do. Brandon's the same way. Like, I look at Brandon, man, and there's been times where I've been in his presence, and you can't walk with Brandon without Brandon speaking to everybody that speaks to him. I mean, and that's commendable, you know, especially when you talk about the type of day that he has and how busy he's been. For him to have that type of time and care that much because he's been through so much. Like, I can't imagine, and I've never had to, what it's like to be called a bust. Like, and to have that, you know, follow you for as long as it did, Brandon. You know, I had a moment where it was trending that way for like a couple of days. You know what I mean? And dealing with that type of pressure. But to have the type of pressure where your first couple years, and it was no fault of your own that you got hurt and people just looked at you like you were overdrafted, you know? Just think about it like this. Bryce Huff, in one season, got a ton of money. And there's already conversation about moving on from him because of his lack of production.
And that was just 1 year.
That was just 1 year.
And they won the Super Bowl.
And they won the Super Bowl. That, like, you got a lot of factors that are covering up that deficiency. Like, because let's be honest, if we're in a down year and the defense didn't play the way that they played, Bryce Huff would be on the tip of everybody's tongue talking about we paid all this money for this cat.
And you'd be in trouble.
I would be killed. I'd be getting cooked royally. But and Brandon dealt with that because – you're talking about a time where the team wasn't, if I'm not mistaken, his first couple years, that was when they were on the down spiral because Big Red was on his way out.
2010, they made the playoffs, lost first round. Next year was the dream team year, which was a disaster. Yeah. Then the next year, he got hurt, and it was the Big Red's last year.
Yeah, you're trending down, and then Chip Kelly comes in. BG, if you're listening, man, write a book because I hate to be that guy, but I'm messing, and I'm going to bring up something in the past.
Oh, no.
That happened. The whole Riley Cooper thing. I'll write a book about that. You can do a whole chapter on that in the whole Chip Kelly thing.
You're the kind of guy who skips right to that chapter.
Yeah. Oh man, I'm gonna scroll through. I'm gonna go right to that chapter, and I want to know BG's take because we've heard Shady talk about it and talk about how Chip. I need to see it from BG's perspective. I want to read the Riley Cooper, and you know what? I got a title for the book for that chapter.
Oh,
the Riley Cooper Experience.
Okay, that was a little more attained than I thought you were going
to
go with.
I'm trying to keep it all grown. Everybody know what happened.
Yeah, we do.
I want to keep the people guessing.
So, I mean, I'd read it in a heartbeat. Q, for me, what I think about with Brandon, besides the play, right, from the strip sack of Tom Brady, is his positivity, which I think helped him get through those tough years at the beginning.
he's
the most positive player I've ever heard talk, to the point where we used to kid when we play cuts of him, like, of course Brandon thinks it's going to be fine. But I think teams need that. You need positive people.
No, it was like, not this year so much, but last year, riding in.
When things were going bad.
And Brandon be like, oh, y'all go see.
We got it.
Be like, dog, for real. But
that's him. That's who he is.
Yeah. That's who he is. And you know what's funny? Like, and I don't think I'm talking out of turn, but we were kind of talking about, you know, not going into too much detail. We were kind of talking about his next move. And I told him, I just said, dog, let's just, you know, you're on the other side now. So I could talk to you, you know, like we can talk. Dog, you ain't about to be controversial. I said, let's just call it what it is, B. You ain't about to be controversial. So there's that. So now
it's not messy like you.
You know what I'm saying? I said
you are
because we, like I've always said in this business, when you've played professional sports and you become a talking head, you're gonna have a moment where you're gonna be asked a question about somebody that you might know personally. And you have to be honest. You gotta give me honest opinion.
Well, especially right after you're done playing, because those guys just, I mean, you went through this.
Yes. And you're going to probably have to say something that most, even if you think you're cool, they're not going to understand. And I was like, dog, let's just be honest. You're not about to do that. And you know who else is starting to find that he's going to have to start pushing that envelope just a little bit? He's not there, but he's getting close to it. It's Kelsey. Jason's in the same situation. And he's going to have to start being a little bit more sharp with his tongue. Because that's what moves the meter nowadays. You have to be able to give your honest opinion and probably say some things that people don't like, and it's going to be uncomfortable.
Yep.
You know, and I don't think, to be honest, I don't think BG's, I don't think he's going to want to do that initially. Now, as he progresses through, you know, retirement or whatever, maybe he'll get to that point, but I don't really see that being him doing that.
Kyle, what's you, like, when you think of BG, besides the play, what are you going to remember?
Yeah, I sort of echo what he was saying. He's maybe, like, one of the most genuine people you've ever met, yep. or, like, I've ever met, especially, like, a professional athlete. You know, we know what he's like sometimes off the air. A little
yeah, I mean,
antisocial.
And I am very,
not to be disrespectful.
I am very, very anti. And I talked to Joe about that
right.
because that's something that I struggle with
yeah.
because I'm not a friend of everybody.
Right.
It takes me a while to warm up to people.
Every time I've met Brandon, you almost forget he's an active player.
Right.
And
yeah.
I mean that in a positive
yeah.
way. Like,
yeah.
he's just there as, like, with us on the radio station.
And,
like, he's just one of us.
And,
yeah.
like, I've done, like, the remotes for, like, Chickies and Pete's and stuff. And then, you know, Brandon's coming in for the Brandon Graham show. And he actually, like, he goes out of his way.
To speak to everybody.
To address you. And not only that, like, I guess, like, a good way that I can describe it, just, like, anecdotally, is he will come up to you, ask you how you're doing, and, like, legitimately await your response. Like,
yeah.
he wants to it's not just, like, a throwaway, like, what's up line. He, like, actually wants to know
he means it. Yeah.
how you're doing. Like, what's going on with you? Like, he looks you right in the eyes and is like, hey, man, like, how are you doing? And he wants to actually know. Like, he's just a very, very genuine guy.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's something, man, that a lot of people don't have, you know, and that's one thing about him that I remember. And will always admire, because that's not me. I'm not that friendly.
So as you guys were talking about Brandon and just, like, who he is, I saw a photo a few minutes ago. Elliot posted, I think it was Elliot, of it's BG and Fletcher went to the press conference and Lane Johnson.
Yeah.
I don't think the Eagles will ever top back-to-back-to-back first-round picks like that.
Yeah.
Nah.
Again. Or
and
actually,
then,
it was 3 out of 4 years. It was 2010, 2011,
yeah,
and then 2013.
And then
right,
the tight-knit group that they are.
Yep.
The quarterback came.
Mm-hmm.
That's like, it might not sound
like. Oh, the Jalen
like,
was there.
Yeah,
yeah,
the quarterback came. I mean, that might not, and I understand that they're neighbors and everything, and you know, he basically rode for Jalen, but still, he came. And that just shows you how much of an impact that Brandon has had on that team, you know, because quarterbacks, they don't really go to a whole lot of stuff that defensive players do.
Yeah.
And that's just been my experience with it, like not taking shots at anybody, it's just two different sides of the ball. But for him to go there, man, and be there, I mean, that means a lot.
The other thing that's amazing about BG's career is like there's different careers within the same career. Because we've mentioned the beginning was rough, right?
Mm-hmm.
But then he bounced back, and he had like a 5 or 6 year run. Like I'm talking like 2014-ish to 2018, 2019, where he was one of the better defensemen in the NFL.
Yeah.
But he had like a third act in the last 3 or 4 years where he was still good. I mean,
yeah.
he had double-digit sacks when they went to the Super Bowl 2 years ago. I remember saying this season, before he got hurt, he might have been their best edge rusher. I mean, Hugh, that's impressive to still be able – now his role changed. He became more part-time. But, like, he was still good
he
to
was,
the end.
He was effective when they put him out
yes.
there, man. And so much so that it tells you a lot for a defense coordinator to come here with all these young Thundercats around. And he'd be like, nah – I'm going to go with this old-ass dude right here.
Week one, he was on the field the whole time.
Yeah, I'm going to go with this old-ass dude right here. And he's going to be the guy that is going to be, you know, the leader of my defense. That is crazy. I mean, that's what I say, man. Admiration, I don't even think that word basically sums up how I feel
it's
about it.
It's a good
it,
word, it, for it, him.
It,
yeah.
It's because you've been through so much, man. It's like you've been through so much. And you've seen sides of this city that a lot of people haven't seen, and you've lived to tell about it. That's the most fascinating thing about it. You saw the city at its worst, its absolute worst, and then you saw it at its best.
And he was
in 15 yep. years, Joe. 15 years.
You talk about a book, the chapters. I mean, Kyle, he was on some of the worst Eagles teams in the
right.
last 15 years.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, obviously, he was on the whole 15, but like. There were some bad years. 12 was bad. 20 was bad. The Chip Kelly thing was
yeah.
bad. But then he also reached the top of the mountain twice.
He's seen everything.
Yeah.
And I think the interesting part about those first few years and like how they didn't go so well for him, like he almost like loves us for it. And I guess like it's because he came out of it, and it was an experience for him, right? I'm sure he didn't love it at the time. but it was a big part of his career and why he's where he is now.
You know what it is? I understand what you're saying, but I don't think it's love. I think that Brandon, it's more perspective
yeah,
than anything.
Right, because, that's what I mean, like an appreciation for it.
Well, it's more like, because, you know, you probably, I would assume that every person that he meets, he's nice to, but he in the back of his mind, he's probably always wondering, was this one of the cats
sure.
that was calling me a bust
yeah.
or talking bad about
yep.
me? Because it's a good chance that it was. Mm-hmm. And you know, you never forget that. You never forget that, but it also keeps you grounded
right.
and it keeps you humble.
Yeah. I think
that's what Brandon is.
Right. And like, I think he said something in his statement, like, you know, everybody always kept me accountable here. Like, that was sort of that kind of relationship that he had
yeah.
with Philadelphia fans.
Yeah.
The other thing, and I don't know this, now I'm starting to wonder if maybe it's why he's always had a kinship with Sirianni. Brandon Graham, and I know I don't exercise this much, most of our listeners don't, isn't Brandon Graham's career an exercise in patience, Hugh? Like, he worked out. It was a great pick.
Yeah.
It took us a while to realize
but
that.
But not only that.
Sometimes it takes time to know what a player's going to
be. Hell, the Eagles were patient with him as well.
They kept him around.
How many teams you know in this era have a first-round draft pick, have the first three seasons that Brandon has had, and then you say, oh, well, you give me the first three seasons, give him 12 more, see what happens.
Right.
That doesn't happen.
Nope.
Doesn't happen a whole lot. So that right there, man, look at Brian Dawkins. Brian Dawkins is a perfect example. At one point, they said, you know what, as well as Brian was playing, you know what, we ain't willing to pay. He went to Denver.
Yep.
He played a couple more years in Denver. They didn't want that to happen with Brandon.
Right.
They learned from their mistakes, yep. man. They learned from their mistakes. And bottom line, they take care of their own. That's the biggest thing. You know, you can say what you want to, but if you give it back to them and you stay loyal to the program – I mean, hell, they'll take care of you.
You know what the most ironic part is? He was the right pick. Like, at the end of the day, I know Earl Thomas had a nice run for about 5 or 6 years in Seattle. This guy won more. He hung around longer. He was an excellent player for a long time. Imagine saying that 12 years ago, Kyle. Like, actually, sorry, Brandon Graham is the right pick. Just give it time.
It's crazy. Like, and he was just mentioning it. Like, not a lot of people are afforded that kind of patience. Like, the Bryce Huff example. Like, we're ready to get him out of here now. I don't think anyone would bat an eye if he was gone by tomorrow, if they ended up trading him. Like, and that's a one-year thing.
Yep.
Barely even got on the field. Like, Brandon Graham, first three seasons, and then, like you said, the way it started, for him to have 12 more after that, and for it to end the way it did, it's remarkable.
Yeah, and look, the fact that he got to come back and play in the Super Bowl is such a cool ending to this. I remember when he got hurt, and Elliott and some other people were like, maybe, maybe not, he could come back. He's hinted at it. The fact he was able to do it, that was awesome. He did say during the press conference that he probably would have fought to come back mm-hmm. if he couldn't. Like, he got to have the storybook ending. 215-592-9494. All right, we had a little phone issue there. I believe we're back on board now. So 215-592-9494. Your reaction to Brandon Graham, his retirement, his legacy here in Philadelphia, an all-time Eagle. I mean, to play 15 years, over 200 games in this uniform, what a career. And we get to go back to the phone lines with Herb in the Northeast. Hey, Herb.
What's up there, Joe?
Herb.
Herb.
What's up, Herb?
What's up, guys? How's the sunshine burning you up, right?
Sunshine is beautiful, Herb. Herb, how you doing today?
I was supposed to umpire last night, yesterday afternoon. I was supposed to umpire again this afternoon over 11th and Bigler, and both of the games got rained out, so I got to wait.
It's raining.
Is it raining back home, or is it just wet today?
It rained on Sunday night into
right.
Monday.
It rain
and Monday, yeah.
Did it rain yesterday, Herb?
No, it didn't rain yesterday, but a lot
Are
of these teams,
sure?
they don't want to clean.
It's not what the Morning Show Twitter person.
They don't have the manpower to clean the fields, you know what I mean?
Well, we got to figure that out. Yeah, we got to. So, Herb, what do you think about BG, Brandon Graham?
So, yeah, I want to talk about BG, okay? BG, I want to thank you if you're listening. I want to thank you for all the years that you put that Eagle uniform on, the green, black, silver, and white, okay? You gave us unbelievable defense, and you were a great captain the way you got in that clubhouse, in that locker room, and you told those guys what it was about, and you brought the heat, and You played, you showed us on the field. And you got these guys believing in a lot of different things. You worked your tail off. Sure, it takes a few years to become a superstar in Philly or whatever you want to call it. But you finally made it to the mountaintop in 2018, and you got that trophy. And now you got another one. I told you a couple months ago, you can still make it. You can still make it. Do the things. You'll be there for the Super Bowl in February. I told you that a bunch of times at Chickie and Pete, that even though you tore that tricep, I said you're going to be back for February.
And he was. Herb, you gave him that inspiration to hold on.
Right. I pumped him up, and
you
I was
it.
Right. And let me
Way
tell you, you got two rings now to walk away with two rings. A lot of guys don't even have one ring. God
well, most don't.
God,
yeah, right. I mean, it's hard to win one, Herb, let alone two. Herb, appreciate it.
That was touching.
Well, we got the rain situation locked down.
That moved me to tears.
I admire your pettiness in that.
Well, I'm just glad we got his take on Brendan Graham in there. We needed that. Let's go to Chuck in Mount Airy. Chuck! What's up, Chuck?
Yo, y'all hear me now?
Hey, Chuck. Yeah, we got you.
Yo, Gillio, what's the dealio here?
What's up,
Chuck?
Hey, listen. Hey, Cal with him, too. Hey, listen, let me just say this, right? Vengeance belongs to the Lord, not man, okay? And when I think of my man BG, I think of that, you know? You know, he's just a guy that took everything in stride, you know, one of the most down-to-earth guys that you ever meet. And, you know, I'm going to miss him as an Eagle, man. I am, man. Like, and I don't get this way about too many players, but he's genuinely one of my favorite Eagles because he's just down to earth, man. You meet him in person. He's not standoffish. You know, I'm talking about talk to you for about 15, 20 minutes like as if he was a cousin or something, man. You know what I mean? And
he
always makes people feel comfortable around him, man. And, you know, guy is just – I was fortunate enough to meet the guy a few times. And, man, what you get on the radio, you get in person, man. And he was just, even, you know, an incredible football player, but even better human being from what I've seen. You know, good husband, good family man. You know, you can tell which way he talks about his family. And, man, just a good guy, man, that you want to represent your organization, man. He's going to be sorely missed. And, man, I tell you, he got the biggest play in Eagles history, man. You know, single play in Eagles history. And that strip sack, you know, for our first Super Bowl. So, you know, 55, man, great career, dog. And great human, man. And hats off to you, man. And I just wanted to call up and... You know, and like I said, you know, I don't, you know, you know, I feel about certain players, man. But that's one dude right there who just defied the odds and kept going. He kept going, man. You know what I mean? Didn't keep letting things keep him down.
And to do it for 15 years, Chuck, you're right. I mean, 15, incredible.
Yeah, he took lemons and made lemonade out of it, man. And I'm just so happy for him, man. He was able to get another ring going away out the door. He's going out on top, you know. Peace out, 55. You won't surely be missed, but you're always going to be a staple in the city, brother. That's all I got to say.
Good call, Chuck. We appreciate it. Yeah, I think here's the way I frame it to end that call. He became fully appreciated. Like I haven't talked to someone in I don't know how long that didn't appreciate the player and person and leader that Brandon Graham became. 215-592-9494. Your calls on Brandon Graham, the retirement press conference, your reaction to an all-time Eagle, a guy that played more games in this jersey than anyone ever, calling it a career today. 215-592-9494. We'll come back. We'll hit your phone calls. And Orion Kirkland will sit down with us before we hand it off to the afternoon show. We're live at Philly Spring Training on Sports Radio 94 WIP. FanDuel, in partnership with Valley Forge Casino, is turning the excitement up even higher for college basketball. Through the first two rounds of the tournament, bet on the lowest winning seed of the day, and you'll win a share of $1 million in bonus bets. Now, that's an upset you will not be upset about. I think Michigan could go down early in this tournament. FanDuel is the best place to bet on the tourney. You can bet everything from spreads to money lines to team totals, plus so much more. Visit FanDuel.com/GIGLIO to download America's number one sportsbook today and back your dog of the day, because in March, anything can happen. FanDuel Sportsbook is the official partner of 94 WIP.
Want to grow your business fast? With TikTok ads, anything is possible. If you've ever thought about advertising your business on TikTok, now is the time to do it. You can drive more customers to your website, sell products right in the app, and you can even use TikTok's creative tools to to easily make content and find creators to help sell your products for you. Find new customers today. Just open your browser, type in getstarted.tiktok.com/tiktokads, and grow your business fast.
Instacart is on a mission to have you not leave the couch this basketball season. Because between the pregame rituals and the postgame interviews, it can be difficult to find time for everything else. So let Instacart take care of your game day snacks or weekly restocks and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Because we hear it's bad luck to be hungry on game day. So download the Instacart app today and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three orders. Service fees apply for three orders in 14 days. Excludes restaurants.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Optimize your nutrition this year with Factor, America's number one ready-to-eat meal service. Factor's fresh, never-frozen meals are dietitian-approved, ready to eat in just 2 minutes. Choose from 40 weekly options across 8 dietary preferences like Calorie Smart, Protein Plus, and Keto. Eat smarter at factormeals.com/listen50 and use code LISTEN50 for 50% off plus free shipping on your first box. Factormeals.com/listen50. Code LISTEN50.
Welcome back. Midday Show live in Clearwater, Florida. Spring training coverage brought to you by Surfside Iced Tea and Vodka, proud partner of the Philadelphia Phillies. A few minutes, we will bring to you Ryan Kirk. I have to ask him about Hugh Douglas's first pitch. But first, let's take your phone calls on Brandon Graham, his retirement earlier today with a press conference that we aired right here on WIP. Andy in Westchester's up talking BG. What's up, Andy?
Good afternoon, gentlemen.
Hey, Andy. What are you feeling about?
I mean, I used to have a lot of respect for Brandon, but how did he not thank Herb in his speech?
Yeah, that's an oversight. He took 40 minutes and did not say anything about Herb from the Northeast. You're right.
I think he made his season. And yeah, real quick, Hugh, I think the Riley Cooper chapter should just be called Riley Cooper.
That's a good one, just Riley Cooper.
And, you don't need a prologue. You don't need a subtitle. Everyone knows what's in that chapter.
Train.
Yeah, but, yeah, anyway, it's bittersweet to see Brandon go, but I'm glad that he's doing it. And it is awesome that he got to play this last game, even though he did tear the tricep again. But what a great guy. He's somebody that you hope in life you get to meet just because he just seems like such a great guy, and you have to believe it's true. Everyone seems to say it is.
Well, it is. Just from our personal experience, it is. He's a great dude, and Andy, it's so ironic to me that he started off as a draft pick that so many people weren't sure of or didn't love or whatever. And then he's like the guy now. If the Eagles draft pick could be anyone, you'd want him to model their career after this guy. He lasted here 15 years.
And I forget which was first. Did he start as a linebacker and then move to D-end, or was it the opposite?
The opposite.
Yeah, he was a D-end
right.
coming
with Andy,
out of college. Yeah.
And then with a Chip,
who
they moved him to outside
move?
Linebacker. Yeah.
Chip made the – okay. That's –
Well, and Andy, we appreciate you. I mean, the phone went out. One of the best things that happened to Brandon's career, Hugh, was when Chip left, Doug came in, and Doug brought Jim Schwartz with him, and Schwartz put him back at defensive end. That's really when his career started to take off. Like, that's when he started racking up 8, 9, sacks a year.
Yeah.
When Jim Schwartz came in here.
Yeah, he thrived in that defense, man, and they figured out how to work with him. And like I said, man, to be in a position where – to have the type of success with one team and to be able to reinvent yourself, that's the toughest thing, man. To be on a team that's had so many different coaches, so many different defensive coordinators, but you fit. You were the type that they needed or they felt they had to keep around in order to make it go.
Yeah, well, it was. It absolutely was. Let's grab Tyler in Delaware. What's up, Tyler?
Hey, Joe. Hey, Hugh. Hope y'all are enjoying that sunshine down in sunny Florida.
What's going on?
Oh, man? We are. Definitely, Tyler. Tyler, what's up today? What are you feeling on BG?
Man, when I heard that press conference, Joe, I mean, when I think of BG, I think of just what this city and what this area embodies, that Brandon and the way he started out to the way that he ended. I mean, he's one of the few Eagles left with Lane and Jake who can say they've won two Super Bowls with this team. And the type of doubt, you know, I've always joked with you, Hugh, about preach that petty, but that's what Brandon Graham was. I mean, he lived for those moments of when the doubters came out. He remembered. Everybody can do all that talking, but he backed it up on the field. And, you know, to see a guy who worked as hard as he did, who put his nose to the grindstone and just was such an integral part of this team. I mean, they say that you're cut from a different cloth when you lead like that. And when I think about my favorite Eagles that I remember drafted, got to watch grow, and then become one of the best Eagles of all time. I mean, that's a guy at my age, at almost 25 years old, that I am proud to say that I got to watch play here and that got to be here his entire career.
Yeah, it's not, there's something really, it is. It's rare. It's special, especially, and Tyler, good phone call, especially in today's day and age. Players just, especially defensive ends or linemen, it's not like a quarterback who might stay with a franchise his whole career. It just doesn't happen anymore, and it couldn't happen to a better guy. All right, in a couple minutes here, in a minute, we'll get to Orion Kirkham, who we got his chance to sit down with earlier today.
Yeah, by the way, you can see Joe Conklin with the City Rhythm Orchestra in Philly Sports Put the Music at the Keswick Theater, Easton Road in Glenside, Saturday, April 5th. For tickets, go to joeconklin.com.
All right, let's talk to Orion Kirkham, who we had a chance to sit down with a little bit earlier today. Joining us right now is Phillies relief pitcher Orion Kirkham. Ryan, how you doing, man?
Good, about you?
Good. We're excited for the season here and excited for your third year now. A couple years ago, you came up at the end, and last year, full season. So where do you feel you're at, like second full season in this bullpen now?
I think ready to go. Just ready for season to start and just kind of got beat wet last year a little bit, understood like where everything's at with everything. So I think just ready to go at this point.
So, Orion, so last year, you know, you first came up, it was like a whirlwind. Late September, you got in and you helped and you got into the bullpen in the playoffs. Last year, you kind of settled into a role. Do you have a sense of how Topper is going to use you this year? Because there's been some changes in the bullpen, right? Some guys out, you know, Estevez out and Hoffman out. And I know the Phillies don't usually do like a closer thing. I guess yeah. Romano might get those first chances. But do you have a sense of how Topper is going to use you this season?
I think the same way as last year a little bit. I think just those important innings, doesn't matter between the 6th and 9th, I feel like, because I think Strong got in there a couple of times. I know Jeff got in there last a little bit late in the year when games got a little more important, especially in the postseason. But I think just closer by committee, honestly, the same thing, where it's like, I think if Alvy keeps doing what he's been doing, throwing 102, it's kind of hard to almost not put him in the closer
sure.
role, or like how Jordan's throwing or how Strong was throwing before he got hurt. It's just like, it's hard not to say, like, these guys can't be in the 9th inning either.
I'm curious, how tough is it to not know, like being in a rotation in the bullpen like you are, how tough is it not knowing when your number might be called or what position you might be in when your number's called?
I think just last year was just, you kind of got a sense of like where the lineup was. Like, we kind of go through the scouting report a little bit in the bullpen of like where the lineup's at today, because lineup always changes every day.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just like, okay, here's your slot of more guys. So it's like, for me, it might be more righties. For Strom, it's probably more lefties. Alvy, it's heavy lefties. Jeff was a little bit of both. So it's just kind of like you understood, like, where if this lineup, part of the lineup comes in the 6th inning, you're more likely going to get that call. So it kind of, they prepped you a little bit. So it wasn't like, oh, you're going to get the 7th today or you're going to get the 8th today and, like, mm-hmm. you're going to face 3 lefties in a row and you're going to have to try to figure them out. So it's like you kind of know ahead of time if, like, if this part of the lineup comes up in the 6th inning and it's like 1st and 2nd, you might get the call or something. Or if you get some trouble here, like, we might go to you or something.
So when we're in a situation like that, mm-hmm. and you're going into the game and say you might go in a situation with the bases loaded, do you have like in your mind preset what kind of pitches you want to try to throw, or is it you just get in the game and try to get a feel for what they might be chasing that day?
A little bit of both. I think it just depends on the scouting report and, like, who's up. For example, it could be, like, Giancarlo, where he's just a heavy sweeper guy, or, like, heavy, mm-hmm. like, off-speed guy, or it's, like, you need a ground ball in a certain situation. So JT does a great job. Stubby does a great job. They're always in the food room, like, every day, like, 3 hours before the game, studying, doing their notes on every single guy and prepping ahead of time anyways. So it's, like, it's really hard not to trust them. And then with the scouting report that Caesar does in the bullpen for us and knowing, like, hey, this is a chase pitch, here's, like, the outcome, and, like, with all the iPads and technology, it's pretty important, and, like, how awesome it is to, like, see it and, like, okay, this makes sense of why we're throwing it to this guy.
Okay.
Is there a difference in mentality at the inning, or is it a matter of, like you said, the pocket of the lineup, the batters? Because when we were growing up, like, there were closers, and then there were people talked about, like, you had to have a mentality to be a ninth inning. I feel like with you guys now, it's more like, hey, put me in whenever, and I'm good. Mm-hmm. Or is it different for you if you're in the eighth or the ninth? Like, does it feel different?
I don't think so. To me, it doesn't feel different. I think how you just said exactly is how we feel. It's like we know from anywhere if the starter can give us at least five or even four, we know the bullpen can handle that rest of the five, six innings, whatever it might be, however long the game is, if needs goes to extras. But it's just, I think everyone knows, like, this is my pocket of guys, and I'm going to do the best I can to get them out as quick as I can and make them look foolish, basically. So it makes it fun.
You know what? You said something that just prompted another question for me. You said, if they go five, you're good.
Yeah.
What if they don't go five? What if they go, like, two or three? How does that change your mindset going into a game, knowing that you might get a pocket of guys that, like, they wasn't in your original plan? How do you plan for that?
For sure. I think it's just a game of adjustments, so you just always talk about it. I mean, more often than not, it's like Strom, Alvy, and Jeff last year were all, like, towards the top of the lineup, or, like, certain guys, like, bottom of the lineup, like the Dodgers or something, they always try to bring in a couple guys for those certain spots. But I think just overall, it's just same hitter, same different type of mindset kind of thing. So I think just keep attacking and then understand. Maybe it's just plans change last second, like how you said. It's just like, to us, it's like the oh shit moment, basically.
That's what I was kind of, because when you said it, that's the first thing I thought about, like, because you said you have a pocket, and then that pocket changes. You're like, hold up. These ain't the cats that I was looking for.
So that's what helps when, like, long leaf guys. So it's like if Ty's back there, Joe Ross that we just signed, it's, like, helpful. That's like, okay, we can get the one-inning guy. That way he gets built up, and then he's able to go for the bulk three innings or so, two, three innings, to help push or add on to the bullpen so they get in. And then when the bullpen guys come in later in the game, it's only – have to cover three or four innings versus how you said, like, all seven of them.
So it's a numbers game. Like you're basically playing a numbers game.
Basically, yeah.
Yeah, that's crazy.
What's nice for you guys is those oblique moments don't happen much with this team. Your starting rotation pitches deep in games. Does that help keep you guys fresh throughout the year? Like, what kind of an advantage is it that you have five, maybe six starters that could pitch five, six almost every time through? A lot of teams don't have that. A lot of teams are in their bullpen fourth, fifth inning every other day. It doesn't happen here. That's got to be a great advantage.
Yeah, it's like crazy last year when, like, before All-Star break, it was crazy because, like, we'd all be out there and was like, are we going to throw this week? Because I remember times where it's like a couple guys only threw once a week, just because I think there was a week span or, like, week and a half span where, like, Sanchi threw a complete game. I think Nola threw a complete game, like, a week and a half, 2 weeks later. So it's like, are we ever going to get in the game kind of thing? So it's kind of funny to say it that way. But, yeah, exactly. It just keeps all of us fresh, keeps us ready to go. So I think that's why it kept us so dominant for so long in that first half, because they did such a great job of just being able to stay in the game as long as they could. And then at that point, we're winning, obviously. And then you just throw us, like, all the guys who throw hard, have nasty stuff, and just get guys out as fast as they can. So it's almost a no-brainer for their team, like, oh, we're going to lose today.
So where are you at? We had about a week to go here before the first game, 9 days. Are you there? Like, at this point of spring, are you ready to roll, or is it more like still building that velocity? Like, where are you as a pitcher 9 days till opening day?
I think I'm basically there, like, rounding that last turn if we're going by, like, mileage-wise. Yeah. Like, I'm coming around the third or fourth turn right now. So I think it's just kind of building up, like, composure, stamina, just because of just how crazy we are going back-to-back a lot. And especially during season, how, like, those tight games get even tighter and stuff like that. So I think it's just building up your arm that way, between it's – you might have to throw 30 pitches or have to go one plus. So I think it's just building up that aspect of it. But I think mentally wise, I'm ready to go.
Let's talk about expectations, the way you guys talk among yourselves. I mean, for the fan base, it's the World Series. I mean, the last couple of years, and since you've been here, it's like you guys were this close. I mean, you were in the NLCS, and then last year, great season, and then out in the first round. Is that something you guys talk about, like the goals? I know everyone has personal goals, but do you guys talk about winning the World Series among yourselves? Is that, or is it just kind of like everyone knows it, or do you say it out loud, like, let's go win this thing?
A little bit of both. I think there's times where it's like, I think everyone in that clubhouse knows we want to go win the World Series. So it's kind of, it's like the Eagles. It's like our goal. We know we're the best team. We know we're like whoever. But the finish line is winning it. It's not just getting there. So I think that's just like a mental goal for everyone. It's like the first goal is all, like how you said, like personal goals. But I think before those personal goals, it's winning the World Series and doing whatever you can, whether it's I need to sit out and just be a good teammate or try to do everything I can to win for this team. So I think that's the most important thing is just, I think that's just almost in everyone's back in their mind.
Yeah, how about for this division this year? I mean, it's loaded, the Mets and the Braves. I mean, for you, do you kind of look at those lineups and be like, man, I got to get a lot of big outs in these games?
Not so much, no. Just I think every game's important. I mean, obviously, there's a little difference. Like, I know Miami's rebuilding. D.C. is getting really good now. Other teams. So I think it just... Each team has their three or four guys. I feel like now it's like facing, I wouldn't say it's like college, but it's like everyone's got their three or four main guys, and then it's like, all right, here's like their platoon guys and try to get them out as best as they can. Because those platoon guys are like, you just see all the time, like the nine hole just randomly hits a home run off, and you're just like, how that happened kind of thing. So it's just, I think every guy's important, and I think like, I think just league's just so strong, and especially in our NL East.
Well, Ryan Kirkering joining us here. Who's been year plus in the big leagues? Who's been the most difficult guy for you to face? Like, is anyone giving you like a lot of trouble, or have you handled everyone? So I'm trying to think. Like, is any great hitter been the one you're like, man, that one gives me trouble?
Gosh, DJ Stewart for the most random reason why
that happens sometimes. It's like a random guy,
just a random like. Because I remember we played him early in the year. It was like a Thursday night game, and like he fouled off, I think, like 10, 11 pitches, and the last one he just hit a single. I was like, how the hell do you do that every time? Or like, there's another time I think in 23 he took me like a deep count again. So it was just really frustrating to get like those guys. But I think overall, I think everyone's a good competition.
All right, so I wish we had you yesterday, because Hugh Douglas did you see his first pitch yesterday?
No, I didn't.
All right, I'm going to pull this up. We're going to show Orion.
Why you got to show?
We're going to show Orion Hugh's first pitch. Well, I want him to grade it, because you know I just want to see what. I mean, we got a pitcher in here, Hugh. We got to get him.
It can't
to see.
Be that bad.
Well, I don't know. All right, so here it is. Tell us what you thought of this, and then tell us if you could help Hugh out here, his mechanics. So here he's warming up a little bit here. You did a couple warm-ups there, Hugh.
It didn't help.
Yeah, here we go. So he bounced this thing at like 55. You're going to see it right now. Here we go. Here's the Hugh first pitch. There was a divot in front of the mound after for like two innings.
Why you got to...
That's not bad. That's not terrible. That's not terrible at all.
Well, dude, it's not... I keep trying to tell them every day, it's not easy to throw a pitch. And especially when you haven't done... That's not a motion that I do on a day-to-day basis. Mm-hmm. But you know what the funny thing about it is? Now I'm a little defensive. Because everybody had a compliment or had... Not a compliment, but had something to say about my pitching. And they had full beers in their hand. And I kept trying to tell them it's not easy pitching.
No.
Tell them it's not easy.
That wasn't that bad. It wasn't that bad.
You're just making me
feel...
I'm being serious. Yeah. You've seen videos. I forget who was the DJ. I'm turning blank. He was with the Mets, and he like threw it behind the backstop.
It was
like,
50 Cent.
50 Cent.
Yeah, it was like 20 feet the wrong way.
But you know what? It's funny because
on that scale, it wasn't that bad.
Well, I knew when it left my hand, I was like, oh, this is horrible. I'm going to get killed. Because it's almost like if you release it at the wrong point, oh, it's going down. And I did. And I didn't want to
launch it.
Yeah, I didn't want to lob it. Yeah, so I was like, oh, I tried to, you know. Then I was like, oh, that stinks. And then I just kept trying to tell them, I'm like, dude, it's hard to pitch. Everybody could pitch, everybody would be doing it.
100%.
Making all that kind of, I don't feel.
Well, now you let him off the hook. Now he's going to say, Orion told me it wasn't that bad. Orion Kirkering, Phillies pitcher. Good luck this season. We'll be watching, and we'll talk soon.
Appreciate it.
There you go. Orion Kirkering on the Midday Show. So now we found out, and we appreciate Orion joining us. I think we found out the player that Hugh's going to be the most positive on all year. If he blows a game, Hugh's not going to criticize him because he let you off the hook.
No, he's going to still get the heat. He's been in Philly too long. You know how it is.
Well, he did lie to you, so you could always spin it that way.
You know, it wasn't that bad. It wasn't that bad.
You believed him?
Yes.
Yeah, I did not.
No, I believe that. You know what? When I went out there and John Brager asked me, I was like, oh, this is going to be bad. So you kind of already knew it was going to be bad because I wasn't – like the other times you saw me, I was in there actually doing the motion. I was throwing the motion. And I was like, dude, I haven't been practicing. I'm just going to go ahead and lob it out there. And it was bad. Yeah. But I don't feel that bad.
That's why he lied to you.
But see, this is why I don't feel bad. because everybody that I walked past had a beer belly and a beer in their hand telling me how bad. Telling me how bad I was. And I was like, dog, look at you. Like, I didn't say that, but I was thinking.
Well, hold on. Both things can be true, you know.
What's that?
Like, that they're not athletic, and your pitch was also bad.
Well, but it's like,
those are separate things.
It doesn't care. But my thing is this. You're right. You're right about that. But it doesn't carry that much weight when your cholesterol is through the roof,
well,
though.
You're remembering it.
Yeah, did you know what I mean? I'm just saying. I'm just giving people perspective.
They got some cozy little rent space up.
Yeah,
up
no, I'm just giving
right
people.
I know. They got
just,
it for a full
see,
day.
See, you know what it was? I'm just giving people perspective of the ones that was talking bad about me. That's what I was thinking about. So I'm like, dog, look at your beer belly. You gonna tell me about my pitch? Yeah, I took it personal. You're right. They were rent free.
Yeah, the rent is still being paid by Hugh Douglas. All right, let's take a few more calls here on Brandon Graham and his retirement today. Spike in Bristol. Hey, Spike.
Hey, how are you?
Good, Spike. How are you?
I am so okay. I'm sad because I love BG, and I have a little personal, thing to say that a guy who goes to church with me on Monday was at a church that BG was actually speaking at, and up here in the Newtown, Washington's Crossing area. And he went out to his car, and turns out BG's car was actually parked next to his. And him and BG, he got a picture with BG, and he had a few minutes, I think they prayed together or something. But that's the kind of guy that he is, and that's the kind of guy that we want on our football team. And I'm so sad about that we won't have him anymore. But I'm also happy for him because he got to go out on top. He got two rings. He worked so hard. And I remember when he was just starting out and it was training camp and he was on Action News. And his little daughter was on there. I don't know if she was like two or four. But he was just so endearing to us because he showed us that side of him, and he continues to do so, and he's got so much heart and so much integrity. And when him and Fletcher Cox were there on any game, you just felt safer. You felt like the burglar was not going to be able to get into the safe.
That's a good way to put it. Yeah, and it was a comforting feeling having him on the field. And, Spike, good phone call. We appreciate it. I just thought about it when Spike said about training camp. I believe Brandon was at Lehigh in the beginning of his career. They were still there.
That sounds about right, yeah.
Right to Andy's last year?
Yeah, that sounds about right.
That's crazy that he lasted so long that he was still there at Lehigh and still was playing, you know, all these years later. Let's go to Ben in Montgomeryville. What's up, Ben?
What's up, guys? How are you?
Hey, Ben. What's up? What are you thinking?
I'm thinking that I'm pretty happy about Brandon Graham, and I'm just excited for his career, and just I'm thankful for him and just thankful for his family. And I really love the guy, and he is just an incredible human being.
Well, he is, and he's been that the whole time. And for him to go out the way he did, and Ben, good phone call. I mean, Hugh, you said it earlier, and when Spike was talking about how he went out, like, Jason and Fletcher last year didn't get to have the same goodbye because they're at the end of their career, unfortunately, they collapsed down the stretch of that season.
Yeah.
Right? Like, Brandon Graham got to have the ultimate. I have to imagine every player dreams of that. Like, you win the Super Bowl in your last year, and then you retire. I mean, like, you got to go to the Super Bowl, which was.
Didn't win it.
But you got to go. But, like, that. But Brandon got to go and win it.
Yeah. And you know, we talked about it. I said, dog, you won it. You got hurt, and you won. I said, you would never be remembered as the guy that got hurt. You're going to be remembered as a winner, regardless of how the outcome was for you. You know, the fact that you have to go through surgery to have your arm repaired. You left the game a winner. You played one place for 15 seasons. You saw the good and the bad. You saw, you know, it's almost like, you know, when I go into South Philly and I hear stories about where the link and Citizens Bank Park used to be like a field where these people used to go hunting way back in the day. You know, and when you hear stories like that, it just, you have a respect for a person that saw the neighborhood change in such a way, like telling you about, I just remember telling the story, was Tori talking about how, like, the grocery stores, how I used to be around in South Philly, the old Woolworths and the JCPenney's and stuff like that. Just nostalgic. Like, that's who Brandon is. Brandon is a living, breathing history lesson for Philadelphia Eagles football.
He is. All right, that's it for us. We got to say goodbye. Let's thank the Phillies for having us the last couple of days. We enjoyed it. If you missed any of the interviews, Odyssey app, you can go back and listen today with Bryce Stott and Orion Kircher in the BG press conference there, as well as the announcer time. We're heading home. Tomorrow we'll talk to you guys from Philadelphia. I think this was a great trip. I mean, other than the
I liked it.
Great. Other than the divot in the field and Kyle Embarrass and his family, we did a good job here.
We're still going to talk about that.
Yeah, we're going to do that for a while. All right, you guys have a great rest of your day. Ike, Spike, and Fritz are next. We'll talk to you tomorrow from Philadelphia on Sports Radio 94 WIP.
Go Phils!
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, Swift Rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford store shares. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company, from America for America.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like picking a TV show. Too many options, too much hype, and no way to know what's actually good. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break through real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Leave TV to fate. Leave your next financial move to the nerds. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere, applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. Expresspros.com.